Governor Roy Cooper talked up expanding Medicaid, curbing workplace discrimination, and his efforts to improve education and job training in his second State of the State speech this week. Listening to all that and doing some quick fact-checking was the News and Observer's Paul Specht. We're talking to him this morning as part of our weekly fact-check of North Carolina politics. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Lisa.
So last week, you fact-checked a claim Cooper made about the number of uninsured veterans in North Carolina, and that had to do with his push to expand Medicaid. This week, we have another number regarding Medicaid expansion that Cooper mentioned in his State of the State address.
Our communities could use an extra 30 to 40,000 good-paying jobs. Are we willing to help them?
I've heard this number a few times from Democrats. Is it true expanding Medicaid would likely create all those jobs?
Yes, we rated that mostly true based on the information that's available. Obviously, it's difficult to predict the future, but Cooper is repeating something that House Minority Leader Darren Jackson said, that expanding Medicaid would create 40,000 jobs. That mostly falls in line with most of the research out there and what most experts agree would happen if it is expanded. Obviously, it could fluctuate a bit depending on, you know, what conditions they put on Medicaid expansion and who qualifies and things like that. But based on what we know, he's on the money there.
And what kind of jobs are we talking about? Are these jobs in the health industry and jobs outside of the health industry too?
That's what they expect. It's a sort of a trickle-down thing. But to my knowledge, it's mostly healthcare jobs.
Cooper also said rural hospitals are bordering on bankruptcy and even closing because many of their patients don't have health insurance. Where does that rank on the truth-o-meter?
We have not fact-checked that specifically, so it doesn't have a rating. But this was a little bit of an oversimplification. There are a lot of reasons that hospitals close, so it would be unfair to say that they're shutting down simply because people don't have insurance. But he's right that rural hospitals are shutting down and they do just lack the operating revenues they need to keep going. And that's typically due to just a number of factors. You know, sometimes it's insurance, sometimes it's, you know, doctors just not taking Medicaid and things like that. But he's at least right on that point that rural hospitals are struggling.
How many are we talking about shutting down?
Six rural hospitals have closed since 2013. So that's three in the last 2 years. And there's no telling just how many others are on the brink.
Shifting gears now, you listened into last week's hearing on the 9th Congressional District. And one of the things that came up to cast doubt on Bladen County's election process was the tallying of early voting results there before Election Day. North Carolina Democratic Party sent out emails with one headline, "Key witness confirms early vote total shared with Mark Harris." Now, there's no dispute that the votes were against state law tallied early, but were they leaked or shared with people outside of election staff?
I'm glad you brought that up because that's one thing that people will turn to now that there's a new election that the board has ordered. I will turn our attention to the State Board of Elections investigators who said they were unable to confirm that those early voting results leaked outside of the Bladen County Elections building. Like you said, they were printed early. The early voting tape isn't supposed to be printed until Election Day, but it was printed on the Saturday before Election Day, right after early voting ended. Now, there were two or three different people who took the stand in this case who said that they did see the early vote tally. They saw some names that were on it. You know, not only was it the congressional race in question, but also the sheriff's race. But we're not sure how far out those results got. There are a lot of questions that haven't been answered. For instance, McCray Dallas, the man at the center of this election fraud hearing. His ex-wife testified that she overheard her ex-husband tell Mark Harris that he was leading in absentee votes. And so that's sort of circumstantial evidence. In most court settings, that might be referred to as hearsay. And another case of that would be the North Carolina investigators said they found a text between Beth Harris, Mark Harris's wife, and their son, John Harris, in which she relayed early voting results from the primary and said that McRae Dallas had given her those results. Again, you know, that's one text, but it's circumstantial evidence. They don't have hard evidence that the election results got outside of the Bladen County Elections Building. And that's one question I think that's on all of our minds as we wait to see who is going to administer the next special election between Dan McCready and whoever his opponent is. You know, will the state step in and decide to run things in Bladen County? We don't know.
That's Paul Specht of the News and Observer. Paul, thanks.
Thank you.
And you can hear Paul every Wednesday as part of our weekly fact checks of North Carolina politics on 90.7 WFAE.